Morning, my name is Rafael Galvão de Oliveira, and I'm going to present the paper Intraframe Prediction with Flapper Transforms for Image Code. The presentation will be divided as follows. First, we'll give motivations, then a very brief Flapper Transform background. Then we are going to revisit the intraframe prediction that's proposed for H.264, the difficulties for using with Flapper transforms, the proposed solution, and modification in the mode selection. After, we are going to show some experimental results, and then conclusion and future work. The first question must be why to use Flapper transforms when most of the image, especially video code standards, the successful ones, use block transforms. The fact of using Flapper transforms, since the support of the filters are bigger than the block itself, may lead to a very big reduction of the blocking effects. Besides that, for the same reason, we can exploit redundancy among neighboring blocks that was before ignored. Both of those leads to a superior performance for encoding in objectively and subjectively measured, but that comes with the expense of a higher complexity. At this point, the only image coding standard that uses Flapper transforms is JPEG XR, that was proposed by Microsoft Corporation. It was formerly known as Windows Photo. And even though it proposes an intra-frame prediction, it's not done as we propose here. We propose an intra-frame prediction in the pixel domain, much similar to what's done in H.64. Now we go to a very brief background. Okay. In Flapper transforms, as in block transforms, the signal is divided in blocks that will be processed independently. But different from block transforms, the support will be bigger. We have this new block that will have n times more samples than the original one, that we'll call V to differentiate from the traditional X block, and is defined by this equation. As I said, it will have n times more samples. This n will be called overlapping factor. And we have here for the example for the overlapping factor of 2, we can see that half of the samples of both neighboring blocks in the left and the right will be used besides the traditional samples that were already used in the block transforms. Being P and Q, the matrices containing the direct and inverse transform, the transform will be held in the same way as in block transforms, with the difference and that the obtained V hat will be different from the original one. That's because the traditional criterion for perfect reconstruction is no longer valid. If we want to have a perfect reconstruction, we have to follow this new criterion that is showed below here. Okay, the point is that the blocks cannot be reconstructed independently. For reconstructing the signal or a part of the signal, we are going to have to accumulate the contribution of several neighboring blocks. And besides that, another difference from block transforms is that in the borders, since we don't have all the neighbor blocks needed, we'll have to carry a border treatment. Now we see again the intraframe prediction. I believe most of you is already familiar with this picture. I wanted to remember that even though the H.264 was proposed to be a video coding standard, when used to encode still images, it is a very efficient image coder. And one of the key features why that happens is the implementation of intraframe prediction. that consists on using the immediate neighbors, pixel neighbors of previously encoded and reconstructed blocks to predict the block we are encoding at this moment. And in this way, we just have to send the residual. Here you can see the 9 prediction modes for the 4x4 and 8x8 blocks, and we have additional 4 prediction modes for blocks of 16x16 pixels. So what's the difficulty of using this scheme in Laplace transforms? The biggest difficulty is, since it's done in closed loop, in other words, we have to have the reconstruction of the pixels for using it in the prediction. And as we saw, we don't have the reconstruction before having all the neighbors. We cannot perform the prediction of the block we want to encode. The colors are quite different, but the central block here, being the block we are going to encode, using Laplace transforms, we would need the bigger square, but we have only this region here that is available for reconstruction. We propose then, instead of predicting the block itself, we are going to predict the extended block. In this way, every single pixel outside the borders, far away from the borders, will be predicted 4 times for our overlapping factor of 2. Even if we want to do this, we would still be missing half of the pixels in the left border, because the block here have not already been encoded. If we go to the way that JPEG, the H.64 encodes the block, in which a block is a group in a larger block, if we have a block of 8x8, is a group in a macro block of 16x16, and the blocks are ordered in this way, we can see that for the first block, since the 4th block of the previous macro block had already been encoded, we, in this case, will have all the pixels available for the prediction. However, when we go to the second block, we would go back to the case we had before, where the left neighbors are not available. In the third block, that becomes worse, because we have lost half of the pixels also in the upper. And in the fourth block, we would only have a small corner. I don't know if it's, you can see this small corner to predict the block. To improve a little, one of the things we propose is changing the order of encoding these blocks, changing the order of the second and third block. In this way, in the first, we have the same conditions we had before. In the second, we go to the same question of the same case we had in the fourth block, which means that we have just one corner. In this case, it got worse. However, in the third, that we didn't have the first, the left corner, we again have. So in this case, we are going to assure that half of the box will have all the pixels available for the prediction. And in the other half, we have just this corner. In this case, we are going to propose to use just a DC prediction that will consist of predicting all the pixels as the average of the available pixels for the prediction. The process will continue much similar as done in any hybrid coder. The residual will be calculated as the difference between the actual pixels and the prediction. After the direct quantization and inverse transforms, again, we have to remember that the residue, even if we didn't have the quantization, is different from the original one. And since we have to mimic, before adding the prediction, we have to mimicate this process in the prediction, We simply process it, the prediction, before adding it to the residual to obtain the V hat we would obtain if we didn't had a prediction before. Also, we have to change the way that the mode is selected. We have mainly two ways of selecting modes. One is the reduction of the minimization of the prediction error. That's normally measured by sum of absolute difference, which doesn't seem to be appropriate in this case, because since the importance in the reconstruction of every pixel will be different depending on the position of it. So we propose to weight this difference accordingly to the importance of its importance. The proposed weighting matrix that we use in this work is given by this. That would be the reconstructed V hat that we would have if we had a matrix just with ones. The rate distortion optimization can also be performed, but we have to remember that since we cannot reconstruct the block, the distortion has to be measured in the transform domain, and for the non-orthogonal transforms, we have to take into account the energy of the synthesis filter. This is one example of weighting matrix for the generalized Lapid orthogonal transforms, 18 by 16, where the filters were obtained by maximizing the coding gain for an autoregressive model with a correlation factor of 0.95, which is known to be a good model for images. And now we go to, I will present a few results. First of all, the implementation, the idea at this point was just to prove the concept that Lapid transforms can be used again with Lapid transforms could be used with frame prediction. So for simplistic reasons, the implementation was carried in a JPEG coder. And because of this coder, the coding block was fixed to 8x8. Also, we used the generalized Lapid orthogonal transform that we presented for several reasons. The overlapping factor of 2 maximize the number of blocks that we can use the prediction. The GLBT has a good performance for this overlapping factor. And just a remark, since the overlapping factor was of 2, we had a prediction block that was of 16 by 16. And even though we can implement any number of prediction modes, At this point, only the 4 modes available in the H.264 were implemented when we are going to use Lapid transforms. For comparison reasons, also the traditional intra-frame prediction was implemented when using DCT. In this case, all the 9 modes were available, and for encoding the mode, we use the same approach proposed for H.264. That means looking at the left and upper neighbor, we predict the best, the most probable mode, and we encode accordingly to that. For the proposed scheme, since the upper neighbor didn't have several modes of prediction, it was simpler just to use 2-bit codes to predict half of the blocks, and for the other half, we don't have to encode anything because there is just one mode possible. And besides that, the direct application, which means no prediction applied, of Lapid transforms were also tested. Here you can see for the image Barbara, we can see that the proposed method that is in blue outperformed both Lapid transforms and the intra plus DCT that we implemented. We can see also that most of the gains in this case was done just by simple application of Laplace transform. But again, our proposed method gives further improvement in the coding performance. The same results, similar results, is presented by the first frame of the full HD sequence Heaver bed, in which again our proposed method outperforms both intra plus DCT and Laplace transforms. And again, we have for several other images in which we can see here the results for the bi-orthogonal metrics for comparing to intra plus DCT and in the right with Laplace transforms. We can see here that we have gains in all test images. Okay. Now we go to the conclusions. The results presented here show that the intra-frame prediction could be adapted to be compatible with Laplace transforms. Also, we show that this proposed scheme outperforms the application of Laplace transforms as well as the intra-prediction with DCT in all tested images. It's important to note that in our case, we have just half of the blocks that are being predicted, and in this half we have only 4 prediction modes. So if we implemented all the 9 or a different number, the results presented here could be further improved. We have here also, it's a very preliminary result, but this is the implementation of the scheme presented here in a real H.64 coder. We can see here that even though the gains presented here are smaller, we have gains in all tested rates for the image buffer. A few reasons why the gains are smaller is that in this case we are competing with not only the 9 modes of 8x8, but the 9 modes of 4x4 and the 4 of 16x16. And in our case, we have only the 4 modes of that are implemented in 8x8 coding blocks. Also, the Kabak may not be as well as adapted to compressing Laplace transform coefficients as is to integral DCT. For future work, we are seeing a ways of implementing variable size prediction blocks, as well as testing other overlapping factors to see if what we lose in the prediction we can gain in the filter. And I want to say also that extension of this work has been accepted in ICIP 2000, and the extension to video was accepted and will be presented in ICIP 2011. That concludes my presentation. Thank you, and I'm welcome to any questions.
Do you have any questions from the audience? I have one quick question. Can you comment on the computational complexity of the algorithm?
Okay, since the filters are, in this case, 4 times bigger, the prediction will be done in 4 times bigger, even though I didn't measure the complexity, I can say that will be at least 4 times more in the part of prediction and inverse and the direct transform. But all the other parts will be similar to the H.64.
Any other questions from the audience? Well, let's thank our speaker.